I'm a part-time rock star, but I go to work.
What's up? Welcome to the Part-Time Rockstar Podcast, episode 261. I'm your host, Brett Bueller. Today we have on Veronica Grimm out of Ohio. She is a rock singer, and her band blends punk, rockabilly, indie, and metal, among other genres, into their sound. And her latest release is called Summer Goth. I featured a couple tracks off of that. One is called Straight to Hell, and the other is called Raccoon. And if you like either of them, you can definitely go find them wherever you stream or buy music. But yeah, in our conversation, we just kind of talked about her songwriting process, a lot of her influences, the music scene going on in Ohio, and also her journey in sobriety as well. It was definitely a fun conversation, and whether you're friends or fans of hers, hopefully you enjoy it. But yeah, regardless, thanks for tuning in and supporting local music. Hopefully you yourself are doing well. Weather's cracking here in Maryland, getting really nice this week, so hopefully we're firmly out of famine season, as we call it, and straight into feast season, getting some gigs, getting out there, staying positive, and all that sort of stuff. I just dropped the lineup for the third annual Part-Time Rockstar Fest, which will be in Baltimore, Fishhead Cantina. Got a bunch of bands on there. It'll be June 8th, so it'll be a good time, and I'll definitely keep talking about it here as we move along towards June. Other things I normally mention is that Part-Time Rockstar Productions is going. If you need a music video in and around town here in the DMV, we can definitely hook that up. And personal news and notes, I think I'll be at Steinhardt Brewing in Frederick on either Friday or Saturday. I gotta check that, but either way, we'll be there this weekend playing some tunes. And then last but not least, the sponsor of the show is Truly Strings Guitar Shop, based out of Laurel, Maryland. Without any further ado, we will get to the conversation with Veronica. Sick and tired of working radio, then radio.
Yeah, absolutely. No, your time is precious. Let's do it. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, no problem. Peter hit me up and sent me your info and said you want to hop on a show. So welcome on what I call the Part-Time Rockstar Podcast here in the Baltimore area.
My ex-husband is from Baltimore, so I do enjoy Baltimore. I have some knowledge. Baltimore. I have some friends that still live there, and they're awesome. So
nice. What do you like about the city?
Just the overwhelming sense of history and the proximity to the Washington Capitals, which are my favorite hockey team. Yeah. So, hey, this is fit that might be a cat jersey. So yeah, yep. We're already.
Oh yeah. Back.
Rock your head.
For some reason, I thought you guys were from Richmond, but am I mistaken about that?
No, we're from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay, that's cool. I don't know a lot about Cincinnati. I've not been.
No, it's a town. There's a lot of music here. There are some really independent music venues. One of the greatest ones being the Southgate House Revival, which is kind of cool. In all the places that I've played, it's one of those weird crossroads where you get a lot of national acts, you get a lot of local acts, you get a lot of different music all interacting together. So it's kind of created a cool ecosystem that sort of allows independent music to sort of flourish and rub elbows with your people within our town. And then there's a lot of cool music and food and sports and arts and stuff in our city. There's a lot of history here, so it's pretty cool. And it's near to Nashville, it's near to Detroit, close everywhere that you can sort of cover a lot of real estate and retail.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I like to do a podcast and stuff like that is to just kind of learn about the, you know, different music scenes in different cities around.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't get everywhere, but we do get up and down the East Coast a little bit, and sometimes out a little bit west. But yeah, are you guys primarily playing shows there, or do you kind of scoot around too?
In my musical life, I've scooted around a lot. I recorded two albums ago. I was in Los Angeles, and I lived out there for about 4 years. So we played a lot of West Coast and stuff back then. Now we're kind of all dealing with some health stuff within the band. We've been more localized lately, but we definitely plan to get out more once kind of we get past this year of getting healed up, dealing with surgery. Then I think we plan to hit as much. And I know we, like you said, kind of at least like get up and down the seaboard and do it this way.
Yeah, for sure. And then I guess this band in particular, you guys have been going since about 2022.
Yes. This actually sort of came out of my last band, Veronica Grimm and the Heavy Hearts, lit up, let's say 2018-ish. And so I sort of went through a lockdown of sorts before the rest of the world was doing a lockdown and kind of started writing a lot and just being on my own and kind of the self-imposed reboot at that point. And coming out of that period, I got asked to play Fountain Square, which is kind of a local landmark in Cincinnati, which was really cool. But for it, yeah, I was really excited, but I needed a band to do that because it was kind of a bigger stage and it was meant to be a big band. So for it to me to kind of put together another act, so to speak, and I didn't really, I kind of wanted it. But for me, band has always kind of encroached on family. Like it becomes family is what I should say. It doesn't encroach on family.
Yeah.
But people I think can have bands that are more like businesses or more impersonal and it's just sort of an artistic exercise. And for me, it never being like that. It always ends up being just a really wonder in the most wonderful of ways, just a really intense functioning family and or a coven, you know, it's just like really a lot of energy goes into it. And so I had to find the right recipe of people for that. And I ended up just drawing all the best straws. And I got really, really lucky. And I kind of always referred to that people that I put together at that time as the Avengers. And that's sort of how it comes last few years, basically, is just being, falling ass backwards into luck and finding just the most highly performing, hilarious, amazing, wonderful people to play with. So it's made getting back into being in a band really fun and sort of, and the most challenging at the same time. Because these guys all bring to the table so much that you don't want to be the weak link. You want like good reason to be doing what they're doing. And it's really selfishly worked out in my favor because they're incredible. So yeah, since about 2021, 2022, when people were starting to get back out and play, it was a big outdoor gig at Fountain Square that put us all together. And it forced me to think about older songs that I still wanted to keep playing and give life to, and new songs and a new direction that I wanted to go in. And so in some incarnation or another, guys that I'm playing with now have recorded two albums with me now, including this new release. So Chaos Magic, which came out in 2022, which we were at a really cool studio. Mike Montgomery runs Candyland here, which is also awesome. But Mike Reeder owns a really amazing music store here in Abbey called Mike's Music. And he has a village theater in Covington, Kentucky, which is a historical part of Kentucky right over the river, which is really cool. And it's a theater and also a studio. And we recorded the last record there. And then this new effort, Summer Goth, which we just recorded, we did with Ryan Malott at his house. And he is in a band called 500 Miles in Memphis, which is...
I've actually talked to him before on here, so I guess that's how I got in contact with you.
Not shocking. Our friend, source of so many good things across the course. This is just another in the series, but he's amazing and super talented and has always been sort of a brother mentor cosmic twin. We're this been born like 10 days apart and have always been playing in similar surroundings and circumstances. So he's taught me a lot and connected me with a lot of good people. But it was a completely different experience recording with him, even with mostly the same lineup of guys, just because the environment was so different. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool. We had the game plan and kind of compress what we wanted to do. It was when you're in a big studio, you can kind of screw around and Brian Wilson your ass off and just take all the time and play a skateboard, you know, do insane amounts of things with insane amounts of instruments all around you. And when you're in a small space doing this by the grace of your good friends, aka, you know, just wanting to get practice in and do your best for each other and not really, the budget is sort of unknown because it's really just the will of people. It's different and you want to be massively efficient. I guess at least I did. It didn't want to waste right time, waste my bandmates' time. You know, it's one thing when you're compensating people in some way, but, you know, I'm not really paying these guys out. It's more for the love of the game. And so we really had to strategize and map out the songs and know we were happy with what we were doing and have at least a good idea of where we were going, not to take any spot, because that's not the case. I mean, a lot of things were really cool and spontaneous and fresh still, but we really had to do our homework before. And so cool experiment going from how we recorded Chaos Magic to how we recorded stuff. And I think it taught us a lot about how we play together and the direction we wanted to go and the fact that we could sort of control the chaos and all the exciting factors that make us who we are artistically, not some other, they'll capture something that was really cool and ball energetic. But be disciplined humans about it. Around nauseam till we had something we liked.
Yeah. Who are some of you guys' influences that you're pulling from?
On this record, especially a lot of like Teenage Bottle Rocket and Pat Benatar and Joan Jett and Alkaline Trio and Red City Radio. And
that's cool. I don't hear them mentioned, I feel like, enough. I like them a lot.
They're amazing. And song on this EP called American Beauties, which I wrote with a local songwriter and more than local songwriter, Noah Slayer, and another guy, Michael Moeller, who are both awesome. And we sat down at a songwriter's camp, sort of intended to come up with cool songs and challenge ourselves, and decided we something in the spirit of this project. And we were thinking a lot about Red City Radio and Gap and Bruce Springsteen. And so there's some of that in it. There's like 90s grunge, garage rock type.
Yeah, I mean, another band in that vein would be the Menzingers.
Absolutely the Menzingers. And I know I can speak three or five of us that were big fans.
Yeah, that's kind of cool because I was a surprise, but I was like, I could see that kind of being an influence based on what I was listening to.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the cool thing about this. So the last record, if you'd asked me the same question, I would have said more like Fleetwood Mac or Heart or, I don't know, like kind of epic, broody 70s rock. But this one, we went in with the explicit purpose of wanting to have fun in the vein of punk rock, emo, all the stuff that we grew up and regular, you know, straight ahead, like Rancid style punk and even the roots rock and Americana that influenced a lot of those bands, and get to that spirited kind of punk vibe again. Because that's what Ryan and I think were really shaped by when we were teenagers, especially, and then our early. And that's aside from a lot of other stuff. I mean, we love a lot of old country and new country, like Nikki Lane or Margo Price or Sturgill Simpson. There's a lot of different stuff that goes into, but on this one, we focused a lot on our love of punk and post-punk and, you know, y'alternative, I guess.
Yeah, the good old y'alternative, for sure.
Yeah.
That's cool. I imagined, like a lot of us, you were probably doing some cover bands prior to this, or not at all?
Not really. We love to play cover songs, but I was always a writer, and I got into this for absolutely the fucking glory. Like, I wanted to play my songs. You know, when I went to the School for Creative and Performing Arts in Cincinnati. I grew up in Cincinnati, and I've lived in LA. I've met so many incredible people and let them kind of inform the journey, you know?
Yeah.
Kung Fu style. But it was one of those things where I started off as a writer and intended to be Lois Lane. And I always loved music and was in musical theater, was in choirs, but I kind of just started writing poetry when I was in school. That became something. And then stand to not have a band. So after I got out of school, immediately started trying to have a band and play, and started that by just getting exposure, playing open mics and going around the city playing my songs. Yeah. And any chords as I could, as fast as I could, just to write songs well enough. You know?
Yeah, sure.
I listened to a lot of Social Distortion and was like, all right, let me figure this out. I can write my own stuff based around these chords. And kind of went after it like that. And I just wanted to consume good things, listen to as much music as I could, read as many books as I could, and write as many things as I could, like honing your sword, you know, wetting the blade and getting it sharp and just taking advice from people, listening to other songwriters. And that's really how Ryan and I became friends. Getting as much good input and feedback as I could get while still saying fuck you to enough of it to stay true to what I wanted to do and have my own voice. That's I guess we all walk, but I love to play covers, I guess, is a long walk off the short pier, but I did a lot of it when I was playing acoustic shows. 3 hours a night, and at that point I definitely did not have enough originals to play. So I would just, you know, get on Ultimate Guitar Tabs or sit with my records and try to figure out as many songs as I could, put together a notebook of things, and then try to learn enough to be at least, you know, pretty confident to be able to fill that time. And before you knew it, I was. And I got to put my stamp on a lot of songs that I loved. So it's become sort of a special treat that we all look forward to in the band being the next cover that we will play at a live show. But we haven't recorded any as of yet. But one of the best ones that I think we ever did, and I know that my drummer would agree if he listens to this podcast, would be Joey Blonde. We love Concrete Blonde. And it's like, not everyone's done it or covered it, but it's a recognized ass enough song that I think people are like, you know, we that like once or twice. But I think we have it. You know, when you tap into something that all of you can do and make your own, but really make it good and do it justice, that's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, sure. You always got to put your own spin on it, your own flavor. Which books did you read that you would say maybe inspired you?
Well, The Great Gatsby is my favorite book, and that one inspired me in a myriad of ways. But everything from the trash to the really intelligent stuff has done me a service, I would say, even the scientific, you know. So reading a lot of Dickens and a lot of classical literature when I was in school, reading a lot of poetry, a lot of Keats, a lot of Dorothy Parker was one of my favorite poets. She was so acerbic and sharp and witty in a time when, like, bad bitches... I mean, I wish I could have met her just at a speak some night. She had her epitaph is something to the effect of everywhere she went in life, including here, was a bad idea. And that actually
was a what?
The bad idea, or like a bad and that sort of inspired me to write a song called Bad Idea. I was like, that sounds familiar. You know, just not having the good sense to have self-preservation, but absolutely leaving no bit of life on the table. And having so much while you're doing it. I read a couple of biographies of Brian Wilson and an autobiography by Brian Wilson that had a lot of effect on me as a musician, writer. Thinking, you know, when I was a baby cub, listening to music and growing my taste, and my dad so many incredible styles of music to listen to. There was never just one thing playing in our household, but I learned a lot about the process of being creative with recordings and pulling things off and using your imagination to create a mental picture in a song, or to make product that isn't just the bare bones, you know, to allow yourself to create something that is lasting, that is well thought out, that is has aesthetic and is a and is cinematic in the way you listen to it. And I that from listening and reading about Brian Wilson. And then reading a lot about Hank Williams and the way he would write songs. So biographies taught me a lot and influenced a lot of my work. But, you know, fiction, that like Dickens or Anne Rice would set a mood in the most wonderful, moody of ways, or, you know, I probably pronounced this hopelessly wrong, but Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club.
He's great.
Amazing. And so just like you're never ready for what he's going to say. There's a turn of phrase that is so unique, so evocative, and so specific and guttural, and just like, it's really, he articulates things in crazy ways, and it makes me want to surprise listeners and want to surprise readers and want to hook you and take you in a place you didn't expect.
Yeah.
And I think that that is also one of the cool things about this new EP, because it's no love songs. And I write songs. I'm so inspired by love and the journey of love and the thought of love. But I was like, yeah, I'm fucking done. Like, that's not where I am right now. I have love. I'm very lucky. I got married last year. Everything's great. Everything's cool. But I didn't need any more. I wanted to write things that were actively taking up space in my brain that more people could maybe relate to, that are just as important, you know, like feelings of imposter syndrome and social anxiety, feelings of existential dread and this, you know, like weird political dystopian future that we're in. Just downright fucking rock and roll, like remembering my past. I'm sober now, I'm like 6 years sober, but thinking about how anything can be a drug or a crutch or or your salvation. Just depends on your POV that day and what you're going through. But Straight to Hell, which runs together, which I love, is about music and about the way that it can be the salvation, and it can also be the drug that just absolutely alienates you from everyone and everything, and it's the only thing you can go hard on, and it's the only thing that can get you as high. And that experience of whatever the shamanistic thing that happens when you engage with people, and people are there watching you, and you're engaging together and sharing that energy. Like, I could get real kooky about it, but there's something primal about that, and something that is heady and awesome, and nothing else can be that feeling. And there's a lot of things like that in the world, but that can be a high and a low. And so, you know, writing about things like that, exploring places that I hadn't left space on my albums for before, because I was just so fucking consumed, you know, with the like the low periods. It was pretty cool to get a lot of that out and to prove that I could, and that I could do it effectively and still with a catchy sensibility that people would want to listen to, that wasn't up my own ass, you know, about a concept, you know, that could still be relatable and catchy and fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite authors refers to music as kind of a secular shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
Like an exchange of soul, which is very, very primal. Sure.
Yeah, no question. And I think a lot about the way we look at our favorite writers and our favorite musicians. And Alkaline Trio, who's obviously an influence to me too. There's a great line in one of their songs. All my favorite singers have stolen all of my best lines. And I love that. It's such a like, as a songwriter, you love it and you hate it. Because like, God, I wish I'd written that. Or like, it makes so much better as a writer. When you surround yourself with other talented writers and you really listen and you think twice and challenge the process. And that's what happens with the guys that I play with. Nathan, my drummer, John, my bass player, Danny and Dick, my guitarist.
Yeah.
they're amazing. And with Ryan himself too, he sings on the record. He might have played a little guitar on the record, I don't know. I was not privy to the guitar sessions. I was only privy to the vocal sessions on this one. But
nice.
But they're just, I don't know, they're so good at what they do, and they come with that lifetime of curiosity and wonder and intelligence and style, and they actively imbue that into everything that we do together. And we all just love it. Like, you can see it if you watch any of our videos of us playing live together. Like, we get together and that is fucking life. You know, but we get together for rehearsal or for a show, and we do it like it's going to be the last time we ever get to do it every time, because we just love it. And you just don't know when it will be the last time.
I say that to my band a fair amount. Like, we just went down to Texas to play for South by Southwest week, and I was like, yeah, in theory we'll be here next year, but in theory we could also not be, so we might as well just like enjoy it, you know, for what it is. And like, yeah, like any show, I mean, I don't know, it could work out in the future or it couldn't, but no reason to worry about it necessarily. It's just that if we have something that's working right now, might as well try to appreciate it, you know.
I think so. I think mindfulness is pretty important, and I think if you treat it, we don't want to suck the, we talk about this a lot, we don't want to suck the joy out of anything. This is not, yeah, like, you're the name of the podcast is Part-Time Rockstar Podcast, right? So we all have,
yeah, a lot. It's kind of a conscious point, because I never wanted to like hate music,
yeah,
the way like I hate a job or something.
Yeah. But by the standard to be high, right? You want to come at it and get out there. And for me, every time we get on stage, I think this could be the only time this human ever sees me play.
Mm-hmm.
Seen me before, heard of me before. They may, you know, and if I'm off by a little bit, or I don't give it 110%, or I don't just kick its ass and just hypnotize them, just glamour them, just everything, they don't get, they might go tell 10 people that it was just okay, or they'll at least never come back. Mm-hmm. But if it's informative and it's fun and you really appreciate it for the moment that it is, I think people feel that and they want to come with you. And I appreciated that so much after I couldn't go to shows when we were in COVID times and not allowed to be near each other. You know, we were doing live streams all the time and that was all we could get. But, you know, now I favor it every time we get on stage. And yes, it's a lot to schlep the gear, and it's a lot to drive places, and it's a lot to load in the rain and blah, 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 stuff that it takes when you don't have like an army of roadies to do it. But once you're, it's kind of, you know, life. It's the only thing that is that amazing.
Sounds like you may not have the classic LSD condition, which is lead singer's disease of not helping and not doing anything except showing up and singing.
I think that I appreciate you saying that. Text clues. I'm gonna leave.
Of course, maybe your band will text you if they hear this, and then they will disagree. But
yeah, we'll leave that to the experts. But I feel like there's some up and that comes if you don't help your buddies.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we're not getting insane guarantees every time that we play. We play because we're playing together, and to me, that's a social contract. That's a lot of love, and that's a lot of investment. And like, our time is precious. All my dudes are cool people. Like, they all have better things to say if they weren't with me, you know. But they do up the gear, and they do show up, and they do listen to my thick and moody songs, and they do all this with me as a team. We laugh all the time. I say a lot of times it's a cheerocracy and not a cheer-tatorship.
Yeah.
And it has to be, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, the people you love the most that give you fuel and give you all the coal to keep the fire burning and keep that creativity, to give the mana to that creativity and bring it into life and make it real. Like, you got to respect that. So if that means making two more stops outside to go and help with drums, or, you know, you know, bring an extra battery for my guitar player's tuner or something, like, it's worth it. You know, down to clown. I a lot of shows alone, doing acoustic stuff alone, dragging shit in and out. I have to playing after, you know, 3 hours, you don't really feel like gathering your stuff up and driving home. So I have a lot of respect for everybody just showing up.
Yeah, for sure. It's most of the battle.
And these guys are no slouch, like, mm-hmm. on it. So they could probably walk down the street and find another band if they wanted to within the day.
Yeah.
And so I try to remember that, too.
Yeah,
there's, if you listen to it, and especially across my musical catalog, so to speak, I have a playlist set up on Spotify. It's called Grimm's Fairy Tale. It has all my music on it in one place. And from the beginning to the end, like, I think even despite the errors and the quality of different recordings, I've always been surrounded by really talented people. So, you know, I've always been humbled by that. And I've never wanted to just take that for granted. And I think when I was thinking, I was even more starkly aware of how valuable people's time was and how to not, to be, well, at the very least, to be less of a dick. I don't want to say, not let's face it, we're all dicks sometimes. But I think trying to be mindful of the fact that other people are really giving you a precious gift, like they could do anything with their time.
Yeah.
See, walk their dog, go to the zoo, fucking literally anything. And they chose to come out here and write songs with me and pinion themselves into a corner in a tiny little basement studio, you know, with me and do these incredible things and leave it, you know, for the future to happen. And that means a lot.
Yeah.
I say a big thank you to those fools all the time.
Hell yeah. So usually I feature maybe one or two songs per episode. I assume that American Beauties and or Summer Goth are kind of the hit songs, air quotes. But it certainly doesn't have to be those.
I think I would love to put Straight to Hell and Raccoon on here. And the reason why, they're both co-writes,
mm-hmm.
And I think have not gotten as much air. And one is a co-write with the bandmates. Raccoon was with Mike, John, Nate, and Danny. And then Ryan. So those are two that are fond. And I think they have every bit as much energy and badassery as the lead singles.
Yeah. Nice. And is there a particular like lyrical story behind either, or just a story about how the song came about or anything like that?
Lyrical story to both. I mean, I kind of already told the one about Straight to Hell because
yeah.
when I started toying with the idea of doing this project, we immediately decided that collaboration was part of that because we'd always talked about writing together and just, we played mm-hmm. together many times and jumped on each other's stuff, but we never really did the thing from inception to, you know, recording. And he had the musical side of it hammered out. So I came in with the lyrical content, the melody, and just some little bits and bobs, you know, twinkles here and there. But he gave me a completely free rein, just said, Straight to Hell title, do what you want. And I started thinking about the difficulties or the challenges that had been posed in my life just by being a musician, being a female musician, being a male musician. I don't know how much matters being a very them musician. I think we all struggle about the same way, but some people don't want you. They want the idea of you. They want the image of you that is on stage or on social media, or that they have romanticized in their mind of what you are. And, you know, while I might be, you know, a dark, broody, gothy, amazing Halloween super goddess a lot of the time, sometimes it's nice to just be a normal human. And it's, you don't want to disappoint people, and somehow you feel disappointed that you can't be a cartoon all the time. And then also there's the side of the struggle where, as I said, music can be an escape. It can be healthy or it can be otherwise. It can be cathartic, and it can also take you down the road to ruin. And I had a lot of wonderful experiences that shaped me and changed me as a musician, but I definitely struggled with alcoholism. I struggled with the way that I prioritize things in my life. And so it was cool to put all that into a song. And I got to do that with Straight. And it took me on a journey of all the bright spots and all the darkness that, like, being a musician can pose in a life. And it's just awesome too. It's just a banger. Like, it's just one that you would scream at the bar with your friends, yeah. You know, on any night, you know, and feel pretty badass, I think. It almost that chant, like that thing that I love about like Dropkick Murphys songs, where just everybody's like queen.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's that community. This is why we come to shows. It's a perfect live song.
Mm-hmm.
I think we captured it, and as a testament to Ryan's technique and his energy of recording this thing, that you feel that like crackling sort of kinetic energy, like Gambit in his cards before he throws them. Like, it's going to explode and it's going to be out.
Nice.
And then Raccoon, I was the first one that I ever wrote with the band. I pretty much always write songs. I don't always play well with others. And I think that in my mind. And then I do probably play very well with others, if they're the right others. But up until this project, I hadn't flexed that muscle for like 10 years. I was just sort of writing in my cave and, you know, emotions and feelings. And then bringing, at that point, everybody does what they want. Everybody writes their own bit and comes up with their own stuff. And it changes and we shape it, but it was very much me in the beginning. And this we wrote as a band from Jump Street, with them just kind of jamming out on the music bit first, and we actually got to a point where we were pretty happy with the musical content. And I was talking to Nathan, our drummer, and he's like, you know, he's like, what we got is fun. He's like, but I just feel like you're better than what you're putting into this right now. And he's one of the few people, I'm such a Scorpio, I'm like, fucking how dare you? But he's right. He was right, you know? And so I wrote the song about that, though. I wrote the song about social anxiety, and not just in the moment of confrontation with feedback and how you deal with that, but just maybe you feel like you're not enough at work, or maybe you feel not enough at home, or maybe all the crazy is in your head, but you're putting all this pressure on yourself, or maybe it's the 1,000 social cues that all of us have trouble keeping up with at all times in this rapidly changing world. Like, it's just bonkers, all the things that we have to put up with and heal from and not be traumatized by on a daily basis. And so I took a moment to just, you know, I get panic attacks and I get anxiety. I took a moment to let that, to kind of honor the truth of that and be like, well, that's every bit as valid to write about and as useful to write about and as emotionally resonant as love or romance or all this other bullshit that I've been
for sure.
Years. This is a huge part. It informs who I am and probably a lot of other people. And the very literal conception of that song came from feeling anxiety about writing the song. It was like so meta. And I wrote Kroger parking lot outside the grocery store, just sitting in my van. And the title is because I'm obsessed with raccoons. They're just adorable and fucking full of chaos energy, which I'm full of.
Trash pandas.
Trash panda, baby. Really, I relate to them on a spiritual level, but I watch raccoon memes, and they sort of encompass all that stupid, ridiculous existential dread that we all feel. And there's the and I feel so cringy so much of my life. But like, that's how I feel. Metaphor for my complete emotional state is just, I am a human as a raccoon meme.
That's a good backstory for a song, for sure.
Yeah, at least it's not like this guy dumped me and then I got sad, wanted revenge, and you know, then I lived in
a spirit animal of sorts.
They're my absolute spirit. I have, like, before I had my surgery, everybody was getting snuggly raccoons to cuddle with nice. In the class. So,
and given that you have a few illustrations on your arms, do you have any raccoons?
I don't have any yet, but there are plenty. I have spooky stuff that you would expect, and one of the stupidest ones that I love so much is my pumpkin spice latte.
That's a great one.
And, you know, my bestie and I, Victoria, and does my hair. We have coffee addiction issues, and so we decided that was an easy bestie fest to together. But raccoons are on the agenda. I've got ghosts. I've got vampires. I mentioned Alkaline Trio. I've got Your Coffin or Mine. which is a blue in the face quote, but also just sort of a Gomez and Morticia thing. I've got lots of Nightmare Before Christmas. Some zombies and some skulls. Actually, I have a Beach Boys, God Only Knows, is my dad's favorite. Well, our song, Breach Up, that's on there. But the raccoons will work their way in soon. I think there's enough real estate near the pumpkin spice latte that I can devote a big chunk.
That's cool. Yeah. Maybe you can get some band stickers or merch worked in there too with some raccoons.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I did a prior to making the record or finishing the record in a raccoon suit. So there is definitely a fair amount of photographic evidence of me being a raccoon online. It will certainly work its way into the merch, no question. But one of those hideous 90s tees where there's like seven of me in various outfits, three raccoon moon, but it's just me in the raccoon suit, you know?
Yeah. Nice. And then you mentioned it before, but you said you were a Caps fan because of Baltimore or having been here. Okay.
More. My ex, who was in a really cool psychobilly band there, it was called The Recently Deceased, and we met at a psychobilly festival, the Heavy Rebel Weekender. Sorry, I'm being old. But anyway, so I made some connections to friends from the Eastern Seaboard at those shows and through that band and through him. Nate and Regina. And I believe that's where they live.
Right.
But yeah, I'd always loved hockey. My dad is a sports cameraman. He's worked for the Reds and the Bengals and done a lot of college basketball. So we were always a sports household, but I really, to give credit where credit is due, I got into hockey. I was married. And so,
I would have figured maybe the Blue Jackets or something. So that's all.
You know, I could have divorced the team, man. I had look so much getting, and it was, I couldn't say no to Ovi and Backy and
that's cool.
You know, everybody at the time, and we've had a rough go since 2015, but we're gonna come back. It's gonna be
hot. On a hot streak right now, that's for sure.
I'll take it, man.
Yeah.
One of social media posts was after one of their longest like losing streaks in recent memory, and then they'd done a mock-up of like Pete Davidson and the Capitals losing streak are now in our relationship, and it just like made me laugh out loud. So whoever's doing social media posts does a win.
Yeah, they're getting better for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I love it. I watch as many games as we can. We have the whole center. So Dad and I will, and my husband, my amazing husband Robbie, is a Bruins fan, unfortunately. But
yeah.
I love him anyway. We come together Golden Knights games because I have friends in Vegas, so we can.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. He's I am with his, so.
That's cool. Yeah, maybe we can get out to Vegas to see a game sometime.
I hear it's rather theatrical. I would love game in person. My friends are devoted Rangers fans, and they have a seat license at the Rangers Stadium. But we've even been to a Golden Knights game, so we may have to work that. We have like annual montages where we go to Vegas and do a bunch of, so that's definitely on the list.
Hell yeah. Well, cool. I appreciate you taking the time and hopping on here, and I'm glad to got to meet you, and hopefully you can help. I can help promote a couple songs here, and yeah.
But I appreciate you spreading the word, people doing what you're doing. You know, it helps.
No problem. I'm in a band too, so I just figured why not try to help us out.
So, and I saw the post about South by Southwest, so that was really awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as grand as it sounds. We just kind of go down and hang out with the rest of the drunks and play the bars. We're not opening for Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. We're just,
hey, you're doing the work. Living the dream.
Just having fun with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think it's possible we'll be in Ohio in September. So I realize that's a gigantic ass state, and I don't think we're going to Cincinnati. I think it's like Athens or Akron. I get them mixed up. But I don't know. We're trying to get out there more.
Well, reach out. Let me know when you're coming. I'll try to monitor that. Come to see you. I would love to support you.
And likewise, if you ever want to play Baltimore, definitely let me know. Yeah. Can
like, let us know. We'll come play. So
can try to figure it out. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you have a good rest of your evening, and I'll try to get this out in the airwaves pretty soon. Hopefully, within 2 weeks is usually my turnaround.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. I'll see you. Bye.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, the song you're hearing in the background is called Straight to Hell by Veronica Grimm.